Man, what a day that's going to be. We're so grateful for you in the house of the Lord tonight. I do want to go to the Lord in prayer with you with several needs tonight. Brother Bill Holt is hurting in his back real bad. Also, Ryan, I want the Lord to touch his hand completely in his body. He is doing better, but he still needs our prayers. I want the Lord to touch Ryan. Also, Sister Roten, she told me Sunday night that she was headed back to Sherman, or that area where she lived at, Savoy, whatever. And she said her sister was doing bad. And a while ago, I got the phone call and her sister passed away. Remember her in prayer. Remember also Sister Barentine. She's battling cancer. But I'm glad that my God is the great physician. Praise God. Amen. Lord, we trust you. We believe you tonight for your answers. And we come before your throne tonight for you to do a great work in our lives. And in these requests, God, we praise you and we worship and we welcome you today. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I mean, he's going to help me invite people Sunday morning and Sunday night. Amen. We had a tremendous evangelist last Sunday morning and Sunday night. We got another one coming Sunday morning and Sunday night. And you want to bring people to the house of God. Brother Dallas and Bryant will be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we're excited what God's going to do. Amen. And we're so blessed, amen, to watch the grace and the touch of the Lord. I'm telling you, Sunday morning, the power of the Lord fell in this place. God knew our message. He knew our address, and he had a message for us. Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bible today, amen, we want to go through the Word. Sister Melinda needs prayers. Brother Colton, just let me know. Would you pray with me for Sister Melinda? Lord, we pray for Sister Melinda that you would touch her and minister to her body. We give you praise in Jesus' name right now. God, help my sister, God. Strengthen her body, God, and bless her now. Let her feel the closeness of your touch in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, yes. Amen. And tonight, we're going to go, and one of the things I want to do on Tuesday nights, amen, is to be able to teach you so you could teach. And every one of you here, I've got an obligation for Charlie. Charlie's got to teach people. Charlie's got to help people. I got an obligation for Rhett, amen, to help Rhett, because there's going to be a time that Rhett is going to have to teach somebody. And there's Gloriana growing up. And Gloriana needs to know why. Without us knowing why, we fail our generation and they falter and they can't make it. So before we go to any other scripture tonight, would you go with me to Proverbs, the 11th chapter? Proverbs, the 11th chapter. And today is the 11th. And always read whatever proverb it is for the day. If it's the 12th, I'm going to read Proverbs 12, but 11th today. Just want to just you to hear this, and we want to just go right into what we're going to talk about tonight from this passage of scripture. Amen. So Proverbs, the chapter 11, the Bible says here, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his what? Delight. So we find a false balance is abomination, but a just weight is his delight. You may be seated. A balance is a scale, an instrument used to measure the weight of something. They didn't have the digital scales back in the Bible times, and even in my mama's time. And there's people that did not have that type of scales. And so what they would do, the scales that they had was two different things. You put a weight on one side, and you put whatever you was buying or weighing on the other side. And that's how you knew the weight of something. So this instrument was used to measure weight. And the scripture says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. This refers to someone who cheats and uses a false thing. You know, presume that this is doing right. Somebody's trying to cheat somebody and use a counterweight that is not really the proper weight. And you know, there was a standard measurement. A pound should be a pound. And it's crazy when you think I'm going to get a pound of ice cream or a gallon of ice cream today. You got to watch and find out, because some of them don't have a gallon. You go some places, it's nearly a gallon. But it may say a gallon, but you measure it out, you look at the weight, and it's not a gallon. And what the Lord is saying here, there was a standard measurement used to properly measure the weight of something. And he said, but when you take something else and put it there, and it's not according to the standard, he said, it's an abomination. Very clear, the Bible teaches against fraudulent motives as being something that God despises and is detestable to God. However, he said, a just weight, the right thing, is his delight. And I want you to think about it. Basically, he's talking about integrity. Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, there was a store down the road. And when you would go to, you know, to there, if you bought something years ago, y'all remember when you went to the store, some of you older people, and believe it or not, you asked, hey, listen, I need a half a pound of bologna and a half a pound of, anybody remember those days? And they would slice it, and they would put it on the scale. With this little man that owned the store, he would take his thumb and put it on the scale and push down. In other words, you were not getting what you asked for. He had his thumb on the scale. He was cheating people. And it's fraudulent. But the Bible says the righteous man, the one that has exact conforming to the standard of total accuracy, that's the one that God delights in. You know, judgment, when judgment comes, judgment, whether it's the judgment at the end of the road or it's a judgment when a God turns the light on in your life and you see yourself, you see your mistakes, it's like a light. And it's there when and what the Lord reveals, it calls for a response, doesn't it? And you got to either take care of it or ignore it. When God tells you there's something in your heart, we either could fake it and think we can make it, or we could take it and remove it out of our life. Amen. You know, the false must be removed and replaced with something that is called repentance. Repentance means I'm removing something, but I'm replacing something. And when you do that, I'm thankful for the light of God. God's not pleased with deception, pretension, hypocrisy. God wants compliance to his desires and principles. He wants to just wait. And there's some things that you don't even have to pray about. There's no argument to them. You know, you don't have to pray about God's word. Should you read God's word? I need to pray if I need. No, you don't have to pray about reading God's word. It's just automatic. You need to read the word of the Lord. You don't have to pray about praying. You don't have to pray about reading the Bible. That's something you got to do. You don't have to pray about going to church. That's just something you got to do. You don't have to pray about living a right life, a wholesome life. And the next thing, you don't have to pray about tithing. Should I tithe, should I not? No, it is something that is very clear in the word of the Lord. And tonight, amen, tithing is expected by God. And we're going to talk about that. There's a consequence for not tithing and giving in the offering, and it brings a curse upon us. But compliancy to God's word always is a blessing. You know, God blesses the person here, and God blesses the person past your life because of what you've done. Genesis says, Genesis chapter 14, 20 says, blessed be the Most High God, which hath given thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of everything he won that day. Everything. And in Hebrews 7, it says Abraham gave a tenth part of everything to the king and the king of Salem. And I just find in the word of God, there's some things you don't have to pray about. Tithing is one of them. Offerings is the next thing. So tonight we're going to go to our lesson. And I want to just say this after service. If you want a copy of this, you're welcome to it. If you've got questions concerning this, I want to help you. I don't want to get up here and just teach you, but I want to help you to be able to teach other people. So Malachi chapter 3, would you turn there with me? And verse 8, Malachi 3 and 8. Malachi 3 and 8. When you get there, say amen. Okay. Can I get somebody to read it for me now? Okay, Brother CJ, you're right there. Very plain, isn't it? Somebody, will a man rob God is the question. And the Lord answers back, yeah, in tithes and offerings. And so tonight we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about tithing, and we're going to define it. First thing we want to define about tithing today is you look at Genesis, you look in the word of the Lord. In Genesis 14, 20, Hebrews 7 and 2, we see the word tithe means tenth. Okay? In Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek, right? And in the Greek, the word tithe means tenth. And the Old Testament, anybody knows what the Old Testament was written in? Hebrew or Chaldean. And it says in the word, when it gets to tithe, it means tenth too. And guess what? In our old English word, from the Anglo-Saxon where we get the word tithe, it means tenth. So we found that definition, it means a tenth. So when you hear the word tithe, you know it means tenth. So next question, what is tithing? Next slide, what is tithing? Tithing has been defined in the following ways. And it's easy to catch this. I'm sorry you can't read that. Yeah, hopefully you can see that. But tithing, mathematically, it's a tenth. Scripturally, it's the law. Morally, it's a debt. Economically, it's an investment. And spiritually, it's a blessing. By reflecting on these 5 points, we could recognize the beauty of tithing. Now, the next question people always ask, where did tithing originate? So, tithing, as already stated, is not a traditional monetary system. And it's not designed by people to further God's word, something like that. But tithing is God's plan. It wasn't man's plan. It was God's plan. It wasn't ordained by a pope. It wasn't ordained by a bishop. It wasn't ordained by somebody. But it was ordained by God Almighty. God set it in order. It's his plan. And I wanted you to know that God sticks with his plan. How many's found that to be true? Amen. You can't outgive God. So you find, where did tithing originate? So way in the word of the Lord. You find it even before the law. Before the law, Abraham paid his tithes to Melchizedek in Genesis 14, 20. What is a law? When we say before the law, anybody wants to help me out? What does it mean when I say tithing was there before the law? Anybody could help me? What does that mean? And I got no, oh, Brother Neil. Yeah. Before God gave the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments by Moses, the Mosaic Law is what he's talking about, before Moses' time. Way before the Ten Commandments, way before the thou shalt nots and thou shalts, tithing was already instituted. And not only that, but even under the law, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek before the law. And under the law, we find the law of Moses stipulated. It stipulated the what, the when, the where, and the how of tithing. So if you had a crop, you took your crop and you divided it up, you realize that 10% of that crop I had to pay. And when counting cattle, oxen, or sheep, the 10th animal, the pass underneath that counting rod, he would hold out a stick and count one cow, two cow, three cow. When he got to number 10, he separated. He said, that belongs to God. And whatever it was, a tenth belonged to God under the law. Well, what about in the New Testament? Grace, under grace. So when we talk about grace, we're talking about the New Testament. And under the New Testament, we found the same thing here, that it was just pointed back to. Paul gave an outstanding exposition regarding the financial support of the ministry in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 14. God's only method for supporting the ministry was through the tithes. And that's how the minister begins to survive and begin to serve, was he was supported. Paul didn't support himself entirely. I know at one time he was tent making, and There's some people teach that, but the Bible says he had taken, definitely received financial support from other churches. He instructed the Corinthian church to support the ministry. And in 2 Corinthians, he asked forgiveness because he did not take financial support from them. And so we find that before the law, under the law, and under grace, tithing was already instituted and God was using that. Now, let's go to the next one. Tithing and worship. I want you to say, paying tithes should not be a dreaded task, but one of worship. You know why? The scripture says, God loveth a cheerful giver. He loveth a cheerful giver. Abraham, Jacob, and the Israelites paid their tithes and gave offerings as an act of worship. When we give our tithing offerings, it's an act of worship. And I'm so thankful that we're able to do that. God blesses those that begin to worship him in that manner. If you can't trust God with what you got, God can't trust you with what you have. When you totally, how many's ever had, amen, you thought, how am I going to make it this week? And you did what was right. You gave to God what was his. Amen. Let me just share with you, and I'm not trying to embarrass her. Sister Sharon, when she came to Nacogdoches and came here to live, she had a car and a carload. And you know what? When she got a job working, she constantly was consistently, she paid her way out by giving to the Lord. I'm not going to go in to disclose everything that happened, but I'm going to tell you, steamrolled. The enemy stole from her. And the enemy abused her. But I want to say thank God, because today, Sister Sharon, you're victorious. And it all because somebody way back then put it in her heart. Sharon, I can hear Brother Ramsey today. Sharon, that's the word. That's the way of God. That's God's plan. And God's going to stand by his plan. Somebody say amen. Amen. And by the way, Sister Sharon, today when I was just in the office, when I was thinking about, I kept on seeing your daddy's face and his old long finger like that. Amen. Thank God for the people, amen, in my life and people in our lives that have stood for truth and held on to some things. Now, there's some questions concerning tithing that as pastors and ministers, we often get. And I want to help you with that. I want to give you something. The following question is going to cover some things about tithing. So, should we use tithes to support widows and orphans? I hear people say, you know, the tithes ought to support the widows and orphans. You know, let me just take that question. Should we use tithes to support widows and orphans? You ready for the answer? Let's go to the word. 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 6 gives 8 requirements a widow must meet before she's eligible for financial assistance from the church. Most people don't realize this. Not only must she meet these 8 requirements, but she also, if she has any family member living who could provide her assistance, if she has family members, including a nephew, they are to assist the widow member, little widow member of their family, so the church will not be obligated. Did y'all know that? I mean, there's some people who say, well, the church ought to support the widows. The church ought to, you know. Hey, the Bible says that their families need to first. And there's 8 different little hoops, that requirements that you've got to go through in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Orphans and widows desperately need assistance. We don't negate that. They need visitation. They need prayer. Charity will cause the true saint to assist those people and bless those people. But hear this. This is the kicker. But if you read the word of the Lord, it is after you support it, the ministry with tithes and the church with offerings, that you start giving to the less fortunate. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. So should we use tithes? The answer is no. We shouldn't use tithes. You shouldn't take your tithes and put it to the widow. You put it to the ministry. Tithes goes to the ministry. Now, next thing. What should we use tithes for then, Pastor? The Bible gives examples of how we are to use tithes in the church today. First example of tithing, it was paid to Melchizedek, and he was a priest. And the Bible says that Christ's priesthood was after the order of Melchizedek. Do you realize that Pastor Crosswhite is in the order of Melchizedek as a priest or a bishop or a pastor or a shepherd of your soul? Levites were in the Old Testament that were set apart. They didn't receive an inheritance. All the other tribes got an inheritance, but the Levites didn't get an inheritance. They didn't get land. They didn't get these things. And they worked around the tabernacle or the place of worship. And guess what? The tithe went to the Levites because of that, because they were servants of the Lord. And we find that, again, that in 1 Corinthians, Paul begins to talk about the elders and the ministers who labor in word and in doctrine. He said they're worthy of double honor. And he talks about that, speaking in the context of financial supporting them. Ministers who preach the gospel are to live by the gospel. And the first use of tithing should be for the care of the minister of a particular congregation. I'm not saying this tonight because I'm the pastor and I'm trying to beg for tithes, but I'm trying to teach why we tithe. It takes care of the ministry in your life. And his needs should be adequately met. And he should have the oversight and the direction of the tithing of the local congregation. Now, there's churches all around that are Pentecostal, Jesus-named churches, that the pastor does not have a direction of the tithing. And there's one that I know particular. It's been on and on and on, where they'll get a pastor and they run them off. And they control. Never should we control and try to muzzle the man of God or the things of God, or try to influence the man by money. In fact, we mentioned this last time. Who pays the most tithes in the church? You know, it's all the same. We all pay 10%. And we're so thankful, because it's not, ooh, she gives more, he gives more. No, we don't look at the volume and the amount. And I've made it a practice as a pastor. I know who pays tithes and who don't pay tithes, but I never go to find out and try to figure out who gives the most. Because I believe and I know that God wants us all to pay the same thing, 10%. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, where should I pay my tithes? Where should we pay my tithes? Well, I want you to think about it. Tithes were brought to the house of God and set before the altar, Malachi 3. 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, it talks about the pastor sowing spiritual things and reaping material things. And he ministers about holy things and wait by the altar. And he's there like a person who plants a vineyard, cares for a flock, a person who goes out in a fight. Amen. That tithes helps that man to keep on keeping on. So we should pay our tithes to where we attend. I know people that they send their tithes to other people. I know people that's went to churches that send their tithes to another man. So I just remember one time, and that there was a person that was talking, and a pastor talked to them, and he said, so you don't tithe, but where do you send your tithes to? They said, oh, we send our tithes to Jimmy Swaggart. He said, you know, and that pastor said, you know, I've been to the hospital 3 times in the last year for your family. Jimmy Swaggart never came to the hospital in the middle of the night like I have. And he said, Jimmy Swaggart won't come to your hospital, your home, and pray for you. He said, because Jimmy Swaggart's not your shepherd. So we take care here, even the things of God, by that. And it's where we attend. And it's not right to send tithes and offerings to a radio or TV preacher, orphanage, or another church, or visiting minister. When a visiting minister comes, we don't pay our tithes to him. Not even to a missionary, Bible college, sorry, or some other religious project. And I don't even pay my tithes even to an organization. I've always gave them liberally, more than what I'm supposed to. And from when I first went and got my license as a minister, I told them that. I don't believe in tithing to a system. I tithe to the things of God, to the ministry. And way back then, they understood what I was saying, and they still understand. We still give to it. We still give to the ministry. I pay tithes to the ministry. And, pastor pays tithes. And I pay it. And so there's a lot of this. Now, how much of my money is tithes is the next one. How much of my money? Everybody say 10%. A tithe is a 10%. And it's dishonest to say that tithes are any amount less than 10%. God knows how much we make and how much we owe. We're not robbing people, but we're robbing God. You know, there was a church that said, we're going to starve our pastor out and quit paying tithes. And they thought they were starving a pastor out. But you know what God was doing? God was sending people to him. I mean, it was drunk people walking up and said, preacher, I don't know why. I just want to give you this and hand it to him. And God took care of that man. And those people that were holding back, pretty soon things started happening in their life. And the cars would break down. Things would happen. Guess what they had to start with? Pastor, I don't know what's going on. Would you help me? It seemed like we get one car fixed and husband and wife, both their vehicles broke down the same time and they had to thumb a ride. I'm thankful today for the blessings of God. Amen. Praise God. So those who own businesses, farmers, home builders, store owners, even people that own anything that begins to derive a profit from a business or anything or a paycheck, God wants us to take and pay tithes on it. And there's people that don't see it that way. They say, well, that's just my business. And No, everything, every increase you have, amen, belongs to God. Now, what happens, next question. What happens if I don't pay tithes, Pastor? First of all, the scripture says we're like robbers if we don't pay tithes. Malachi 3:8 says, you know what happens? We close the windows of heaven upon our soul. Now, Haggai says this. Is it possible to put money in bags with holes in it? Haggai said yes. There's another dilemma of the non-tither. Solomon said that the generous giver is going to be made rich, prosperous. And he said he's going to have waters that will water him. And he said there's things that you can't even measure what's going to happen to him. It's going to be beyond what you can measure. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there's going to be your heart also. So paying tithes is one of the way of watering and laying up treasure in heaven and measuring out. We're the loser when we fail to do that. So Malachi says this, there's a devourer in every life when we disobey God. Unseen to us, this devourer will consume what we owe God, and we were going to suffer spiritually. God's going to get his part one way or another. You know what I'm talking about? And no reward could come, no favor from God, no blessing could come. And it's far better to give to God what is his and to be blessed than receive our reward than for God to have to take us and go through this to get it from us another means. Amen. So, friend, I want to tell you, it's a privilege to give to the Lord. It's a privilege to pay tithes. Number one, I just mentioned the word give, but the word tithes is not something you give, it's something you pay. An offering is what you give. Now, my next question, may I place tithes in the offering without designating them as tithes? Let me just say this. According to the Bible, there's a distinction between tithes and offering. God's word teaches us to give offerings and to pay tithes. The tithes is 10% of our increase, and offerings are a portion of what remains of our personal money. And then we should keep each one of them distinct and not evade the responsibility of creating a false impression on the other area. Tithing, given as an offering, is not counted as tithes. Wow. Let me just say the difference today. Do you know how the bills are paid in the church? How do we take care of the electricity bill here?
through offerings. And our electric bill sometimes, one time it was, what, $4,000? $4,000. $4,000. And God don't expect it to come out of the tithes. He wants it to come from the offering. And how beautiful. God blessed us with this facility. And there's times pastor had to, you know, we had to do it. But tithes goes to the minister. The ministry. Brother Zach, stand up. Do you know how Brother Zach is funded? Tithe. All right. You may be seated, Brother Zach. He is funded through the tithing. Do you know how, when this preacher preached the other day, how was he supported mostly? You know, pastors, a lot of times the pastor, through my tithes and through the offerings of the church as well, but there's many times I will give and from my tithes to the ministry. And these ministers, Sister Savala and Brother Savala, they're full-time in the ministry. Brother Savala makes his living from preaching from place to place. And it's by the goodness of God's good people that God blesses them. They may pull in. You may think, wow, man, I imagine the pastor's giving them a big offering tonight. But you never know, because Sister Savala would tell you, there's times that God's blessed them with an abundance, but they didn't have anywhere to go for the next month. Thank God for the giving and the power of God. We don't want to ever shortchange. That's one of the things I will favor all my life. And as a pastor, I always favor this. I want to give to every missionary. I want to give to every evangelist. I don't want them to leave Apostolic Lighthouse with just a little bit. I want us to bless them. So when we give that offering, you give. It's a blessing. And when you pay your tithes, you ought to thank God for it, because God blesses us. The next slide, principles for giving. We should give to, according to the following scripture principles. As God has prospered us, according to what we have, in the same manner that we like to receive. How many likes that part? How many likes to receive? Amen. I like to give. And I want to tell you, Brother and Sister Quinn will tell you, it's been through the years that God has blessed y'all because y'all were givers. You open the door when you give. I can't afford to give. Hey, you take care of the things of God, and God take care of you. I tell everybody, I have a man that told me, man, I can't afford to pay tithes. I said, man, I can't afford not to pay tithes. Amen. I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord. We give as we purpose in our hearts. We don't give grudgingly, not out of a necessity. We give cheerfully, and with simplicity we give. And our giving is not to show that, ooh, look what I have and look what you don't have. I mean, because Riley, I almost know what Riley makes an hour, because she works at Zadie B's. She don't make very much. But I'm going to tell you, Riley, you're giving to God. God sees that. And God puts you in the same category as anybody else, because he loves your faithfulness when you bless God. And he says, you know what? I'm going to start blessing this young lady. How beautiful it is when things begin to happen, when you give with simplicity. Now, the last slide. Our chief example of giving is Jesus Christ. He was willing to give, and his giving, he gave all. Amen. I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to be a loser. I want to be a victorious person. I want the grace and the goodness of God to follow me. I want the windows of heaven to be open in my life. Now, Isaac had his wreck in June 29th of 2024. Tremendous expenses. I've been hours on the phone with the hospital, doctor's offices. Everything's happened. And then the beginning of the year, Isaac's ACL tore. And I'm not saying this to get a sob story. Another surgery. And the other day, here I'm back. I'm in the hospital. And I am so blessed that in spite of it all, Sister Sharon, that when my wife walked to the mailbox the other day,
There was a check there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, amen, God knows how to put it right on time. Well, the type of insurance I have, you have to pay up front, and then you try to get a reimbursement from the insurance company, which sometimes you don't get. So it's on a credit card. You gain an interest. And if you can't pay those interests, they come and say, I call you constantly. But I'm so thankful that when we gave the battle to God, God has a way of answering right on time. Saint of God, it pays to live for God and to follow God's plan. It's his plan, and he's going to stand by it. Amen. Would you stand? Amen. I love it when parents teach their children to tithe. That little boy gets a gift, and when they teach him, I can remember Josiah Shrekis. One time he was here, and I slipped him a $20 bill, and he went to his mom and daddy. He said, "I got to pay my tithes and offerings." And even though I wanted him to take and spend that $20 bill, that little boy knew what to do. He went to mom and daddy. He said, "Hey, Brother Crosswhite gave me $20. I need to figure out my tithes and my offerings." And you know what happened? He paid his tithes, and God blessed him and his offerings. Amen. Today, God has blessed that young man because he knew how to keep the window open in his life. Amen. Praise God. Lift your hands. Let's thank the Lord for his plan. Thank you, Jesus. We love and we trust you today. Thank you for the goodness of the Holy Ghost, the goodness of your ways. We love and we praise you, God, for the abundance. We worship you. We bless your name. Help us to prosper in your spirit, to grow in you, Jesus. Would you bless our church in Jesus' name? Amen. Don't ever be afraid to sacrifice. God loves sacrifices. And he loves the challenge when you give by faith. Amen. Because God will always outgive you back. God bless you tonight. Let's go to heaven. How? Yes. Amen. Sister Crosswhite has a hand up. Okay, the Wilsons. Okay. Let's pray for the Wilsons. They just lost an aunt. God, we pray for them. Lord, you would touch and minister right now.